Half fasts. Like a teenager, I keep a journal. Every morning I get up and write for about 10 minutes about my day. More entries start with, I get up, than not. This is not creative writing, but I've been doing it since August 10, 1987. My very first entry, I wrote about how I always wanted to keep a journal, but it's a little late because most of the stuff that's going to happen to me has already happened. So there's not much left. I guess I figured I was 33 years old and it was about time to be crucified. But now I've been keeping a journal for almost half my life, and it seems a lot more shit ended up happening. With the help of my new diet, maybe I get another 30 years. Who knows? My journal helps me forget stuff. Before I kept the journal, I would spend each day with conversations and ideas from the previous day swirling around in my head. For the past 28 years, I've written my 5 to 1500 words every morning and then forgotten about that day for a year until I read that day's entry again. When I've been doing my diary for a year, I started reading what I'd written the year before. When I hit 5 years, I started reading the entries from 5 years previous and then those from 1 year before. Then I'd write about my previous day. Now every morning I get up, see, I like to chronicle that, do at least 45 minutes. I have a 45-minute exaggeratedly named hourglass on my desk that I use to measure of writing. For example, on this book. And then I read my journal from 20 years ago, then 10 years ago, then 1 year ago, and then I write what's happened in the past 24 hours. I find that reading the old entries every morning is a way to time travel, a way to shout to myself across time. Before I was married, if a girlfriend could stand me for a year, the journal came into play. If I read that the year before I was having the same argument with the same woman I was having that very day, it was time to do something about it. The journal focused some breakups. Now I mostly read my old journals and cry. I cry at the memories of those I love who are now dead. I cry with joy at every little thing I wrote when our children were babies. I cry with embarrassment that I was willing to sit in a room with Donald Trump. I woke up, see, yesterday morning and read my journal from 20 years ago. According to my records, I woke up and left for rehearsal without having any breakfast. I was a prick to tell her. I treated him really badly, and not just tell her. I snapped at everyone. I called my girlfriend at the time, a wonderful actor in L.A. She had an important callback audition for a TV show and had to work on that, so she couldn't fly to Vegas to see me. Instead of dancing with joy at her success, I pouted like an asshole about her not coming to see me and sucked some of her joy away. That's enough evidence that I'm just a prick, but in the journal, I blamed it on not eating. I vowed that I would buy some cereal and eat that every morning. The solution for 1995 Penn was not to be more loving and considerate. It was to have more oatmeal in the morning. 20 years later, I now have a wife to pout about and still, always and forever, treat Teller badly. But I no longer blame it on food. It used to be that if I skipped breakfast, I had a hard time. I had to find a snack right away. Without food, my patience disappeared. I was snappish and I even got headaches. That no longer happens. I don't know why. I never know why any fucking thing is happening. But I cut and pasted part of my journal into an email to Cray-Ray and asked him. He wrote back to say that was a good question, and he had no idea. Cray-Ray and Furberger both write about how people on the sad don't know what hunger is. They have little rules of thumb. If you're hungry for a specific food, it's not hunger, it's craving. If your thoughts are fuzzy, if you're headachy, weak, and snappish, if you're lethargic, if your stomach is growling and feels empty, that's not hunger either. That's craving. Cray-Ray taught me with 2 weeks of potatoes what hunger is. I feel real hunger in my throat, and it leads to focus and patience. Cray-Ray writes some just-so stories about how evolution keeps you clear and energetic to find food when you need it. Our almost ancestors who didn't have energy to find food when they were starving died and didn't become our real ancestors. It makes sense in the way things that aren't really true often make sense. I don't know the truth, and neither does Ray, but things have changed for me. When I get up the morning and went on Jeopardy, it was Celebrity Jeopardy, which is kind of like Remedial Jeopardy, but we won't mention that again, okay? I mean, I won. That's what matters. I did not have breakfast. If I had been on a show a year earlier, breakfast would have been planned out the night before. I would have had oatmeal with brown sugar and a banana, orange juice, maybe some bacon, and what the hell, a couple of eggs over easy. I would have wanted the focus that comes with a good, solid breakfast. I would have wanted to do my best and win, like I did. But it wasn't like that when I went on Jeopardy less than a year ago and won. I get up and didn't eat a thing. The Jeopardy people had a full and lavish breakfast spread for us at the studio. A year ago, I would have eaten a second breakfast there. And the other contestants, the losers, were chowing down. I ate nothing. I went on air focused with an empty stomach, and I won. Jeopardy. I won Jeopardy. Now, before any important meetings, I make sure I don't eat. I don't snack. Cray-Ray pushed hard to keep the Fed window small. Because I like to eat before my show. Oh, so? You don't have to be focused for your show, Pen. Shut up. And I like to eat after my shows. I have my before-show meal at about 5:30 and my last meal of the day a bit after midnight. So while I was losing, I had about a 7-hour Fed window and went only 17 hours without eating. It seems that when my diet was really high-calorie shit, I had to eat all the time. Now that my diet is low-calorie, I don't have any problem not eating. Years ago, if I were going to supper a little late and we had to drive to the restaurant and park and meet people and be seated in order, meaning it would be a couple of hours before I ate, I needed to have a spoonful of peanut butter and some cheese to make sure I didn't get snappish in the car on the way. Now if we go to a restaurant that doesn't have any food that seems right for me, I just have water and coffee, and I feel great. I don't understand it at all. Maybe Cray-Ray, Furburger, and the Clap are right. Maybe there's something like fat, salt, sugar addiction. I don't know. My buddy Jason is an amazing juggler. He's a new kind of juggler, which he pretty much created, a jock juggler. When I learned to juggle, it wasn't a jock thing. I learned to juggle long enough ago that it wasn't even a hippie, knit-dirty, yellow, hacky-sack thing. When I learned to juggle, it was a freak thing. It was circus and carnival. At least in my 12-year-old mind, when I learned to juggle, I was doing it to be in Bob Dylan's dreams. I got really good before college students started doing it. I wanted to be circus. That was my only way into showbiz. Jason Garfield is a jock. He's a bodybuilder. His body's perfect. He is seriously buff. He's not as crazy as Cray-Ray. He's not Cray-Jay, but he's a bit eccentric. Before he met Cray-Ray, he would come live at our house for months, and our kitchens would fill with his magic bodybuilding potions. Jason went to those strip mall health stores and bought every powder they scammed out, put it in a blender with egg whites and eye of newt, and drank it down 10 times a day. It sure looked like the shit was working. He would shave his whole body and oil himself down and look pretty great. Jason was kind enough, but when my wife was pregnant and on strict bed rest and bored out of her soon-to-be motherfucking mind, he would shave up, oil down, get himself fully erect, and send her nude pictures. He's a good buddy. Just based on the way Jason looks, he wouldn't normally be a friend of mine. But when he wanted to start the World Juggling Federation, he saw me as the most famous juggler and wanted me to do commentary for his juggling competition show on ESPN 17, which airs only in the Philippines. His goal was to take juggling away from clowns and jokers like me and give it to jocks like him. He called it sports juggling. You can see how it's caught on. The WJF doesn't allow any costumes or funny props or jokes. There never was much entertainment in juggling, but Jason is working to crush the little bit that remains. Juggling is now buff guys in sweatpants doing technical routines, every throw of which is harder than I could ever do when I was at my peak, while judges take notes and do commentary. No one watches. If all the jugglers did it shaved down, oiled up, naked, and with hard-ons, maybe my wife would watch. You know, if they didn't juggle. Since Jason and I both juggled and were working together to destroy juggling, and since my wife had him living at our house, Jason and I became friends. There's a brief time when both Cray-Ray and Jason were at the house, and because Cray-Ray talks to everyone about diet, and because Jason's useless and dangerous potions were all around the kitchen, Jason and Cray-Ray got to talking. After a few hours of talking with Cray-Ray, Jason went on our diet. I had only seen fat fucks do it before, but now there was a buff, shaved, and oiled guy doing it. Jason was skeptical of it, but he gave it the obsessive juggler try. We have that in common. Jason was thrilled with the results and became a Cray-Ray convert and preacher. Since there is no money in juggling, unless, you know, you at least try to be entertaining, Jason supplements his income as a personal trainer. When I hit my target weight and it was time for me to build my arms back up a little, I asked Jason to help me with biceps and tricep exercises, and by working out for just 10 minutes every other day, Jason gave me nice arms. Not nice enough to shave and oil up or to look in the mirror and get my own cock hard, but nice. Jason was also working with me on a nice, clean 5-club juggle, which I always wanted. Jason is a great coach. With Jason's bodybuilding and his ripped-off Cray-Ray diet, his clients were losing fat, gaining muscle, and getting healthier faster than anyone else at the gym in Seattle where he works. This was giving Jason more clients and more data points. Just a few months after we introduced him to Cray-Ray, Jason had gathered a lot of real-world data points on this diet plan. Jason didn't bring his clients with a potato famine, but he did have them go whole plants and use Cray-Ray's Fed window. I sat in when Jason was talking to some new clients, and he had them promise to go 16 hours without food every day. He told them when they hit 16 hours to try to go a little longer. He told them to view the feeling in their stomachs not as hunger, but as the burning of fat. He was adding a kind of poetry to Cray-Ray's work. I liked feeling what I used to feel as hunger in a different way. I liked the try to go a little longer. I started pulling out my phone when I finished eating my second meal of the day and hitting the stopwatch. I tried to make it 16 hours before my first meal the next day. Most days I do 17 or 18 hours before my first meal. I usually hit 22 to 24 hours of hunger once a week. I keep a record of my time. It's another obsessive goal to make staying healthy fun. Dr. Michael Clapper is a skinny, healthy, old hippie fuck. He lives in Hawaii, and his wife teaches yoga, dances, and probably plays the hammer dulcimer. The Clap seems to know everything about digestion, and he's a great speaker. He's wicked smart, you know, for a hippie, and I love him. He's been so helpful. I have my doctor in Vegas who is wonderful, and I run everything by him, but I write to the Clap as a buddy, and he gives me a slightly different POV. He gives me the hippie POV, which I like a lot more than I like to admit in public. I'm not qualified to even touch on this in passing, but Dr. Clapper does a lot of stuff with serious fasting. He runs a clinic where Cray-Ray goes for his long-term serious water fasts. Water fast means nothing but water. It doesn't mean going without water. The last fast that Cray-Ray did lasted 21 days, and he loved it. The Clap doesn't claim that fasting is a panacea, but it sure seems to help a lot. In many of his cases, fasting has helped bring really high blood pressure to healthy levels in a very short time, and then it seems to stay there. This isn't something anyone can do on his or her own. You have to be in a medical facility that constantly monitors you. It can get dangerous to fix blood pressure that quickly. When I brought my blood pressure down with diet and weight loss, there were some scary days when my doctor was pulling me off drugs really fast and my blood pressure went too low. I have begged the Clap to let me do a week-long or 10-day fast to take all the extra fat off and to finally get off the low dose of meds that I'm still on. And he says, no, no, no. If I were willing to go to his clinic and have docs around and be monitored all the time, he'd let me give it a try, but that would mean taking a few days off from work, and I never do that. I just never do that. And if I could find time to take off, I'd want to be with my family instead of in some hippie clinic. It looks like I won't get a chance to do a serious fast, but I want to. So I invented half-asts. Catchy name. The Clap says that a 24-hour fast once a week is always fine, and 48 hours is groovy, too. He says I can go up to 72 hours without being in a clinic, but he doesn't want me working or traveling during those hours, and I'm always working and traveling during every 72-hour period. My life now is all half-assed. On average, I do 6 days a week of at least 16 hours before my first meal. My average is a bit over 17 hours. I try to make sure that I hit over 22 hours once a week. As I write this, it's been exactly 1 year to the day since I started the Cray-Ray program. I'm about 2 pounds over my target weight at this second. I spend some time at 10 pounds over my target weight. That means I gained about a pound a month. I couldn't keep doing that or I'd be back to where I started in 9 years, so I took it off again. Before Christmas, when our business is a little slow, my children get a school vacation and like to go see their grandfather in St. Thomas. What a great place to have a wonderful grandfather. For sentimental reasons, I ate only potatoes on December 9th. I wanted to mark the day that Cray-Ray saved my life with potatoes. Cray-Ray and the Clap both seem to think that eating only potatoes is damn close to fasting. I had a few days of the weeks coming up where I didn't have to travel, I didn't have shows. I did short fasts during that time to get a little bit below my original target weight and managed to get my blood pressure down a little more. But the truth is I wasn't that goal-oriented. I like not eating for a while. I enjoy the energy boost and the focus. I used to think the magician David Blaine was an asshole for spending all that time not eating in a box in London. I thought he was just celebrating torture. I still don't think there's any art or entertainment value in it. He'd be better off juggling. But now I'm a bit envious. I now associate not eating with a certain kind of euphoria. I look forward to my next half fast. It's hard to imagine that I'll ever have time to get to a hippie clinic and do more than 3 days, but there's no doubt I have the desire. Not eating used to mean I would be headachy, ornery, panicked, and lethargic. Now not eating means I'm jacked up, happy, and focused. I love it. But I'm still a prick to tell her. Diet won't change that.